Morning, how's everyone today? Good, fantastic. Let's begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together on this beautiful sunny day. We thank you that we can lift our voices and sing. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we open it up this morning, that you'll speak to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Australia Day. It's a good excuse to gather with mates and have a barbecue. It's a good excuse to eat lamingtons. It's a day when we acknowledge the achievements that many Australians have made over the past 12 months. And we're reminded of the good and the bad things that have occurred in our short history since the arrival of the first fleet back in 1788. And for each of us, it's a time when we can stop and think about why we call this great brown land our home. Australia, it's a great country to live in, and I love living here. We have freedom, and as a result of that freedom, we can freely read our Bibles. We can pray. We can talk to God. And we can meet with other believers in public, and we can attend Bible studies, and we can attend church without facing persecution. I also love coming to church where I can fellowship with you guys. But more importantly, where I can worship God and learn more about Him, and afterwards we can discuss what we've learned and we can also encourage each other. Some people, they see going to church as an obligation, something that they have to do, a bit like paying bills. Others, they see it as a waste of time, and some make excuses as to why they don't go. And some of those excuses include: the sermon is too long and boring. The people, they're just not friendly. I don't know the songs. And the music is just too loud, especially that drummer. Yet for many others, worshipping God is pure joy. It's a normal part of their lives. They come to church enthused about worshipping God and being with His people. They don't come because of the person that's preaching, or because of the music, or because their best friend's going to be there. Their motivation is to meet with and worship God. And the passage that we're looking at today is Psalm chapter 84. And this passage reminds us of how fortunate we are, because we can come and dwell in God's presence. Now, we're not 100% sure as to who the author of Psalm 84 is. But what we do know is that the author expressed a deep longing for the presence of God. They longed to be in God's house, to be in His courts, and to dwell in His presence. And in verses 1 and 2, we can hear the cry of their heart that says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The psalmist's whole being was consumed with being in the presence of God, because they knew that being in God's presence brought refreshment and it satisfied their soul. And that raises the question for each of us. Do you long to be in God's presence? Do you long to meet and fellowship with other believers? Do you long to spend time alone with God? Do you long to spend time in prayer where you can talk to God and listen to His voice and find His will and direction for your life? Do you long to read your Bible and reflect on God's Word? Or would you rather be out on the golf course, at a football, netball, cricket or tennis match, going to a barbecue, eating lamingtons, or sitting at home in your comfy reclining chair with your remote control in hand, watching all the sport that's on during January, or ask the reruns of your favourite shows? In verse 3, we can see that the author envied the swallows that had built their nests and found a place for their young and for themselves within the temple courts. The temple courtyards, they were open to the sky, and the great eaves of the temple, they provided a place for nesting. And as a result, there was always birds in the temple. And the writer was jealous that the birds could make their home right there in the house of God and not have to leave His presence. And for each of us, We can meet with God and we can dwell in His presence at any time of the day. We can read our Bibles. We can pray. We can meet with other believers and we can worship. It doesn't matter where we are. But coming into the house of God, coming into a church building, it can be beneficial for us. It can help us to step aside from the busyness of life so that we can quietly meditate on God and pray to Him and He can refresh and satisfy our souls. Now, that might not always happen during family church due to the noise and chaos of our wonderful children. But if you'd like, you're more than welcome to come during the week when it's quiet. Psalm 84 verses 5 to 7, it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." The author was on a journey. They are on a pilgrimage to be in God's presence. And on their way, they encountered numerous highs and lows. And we know that because we read that they passed through the valley of Baca. Now, the Hebrew word Baca, it comes from a word which means to mourn or to wail or lament. And the valley of Baca is literally the valley of weeping. And all of us, we're all on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage. And all along the way, there are the highlights, the bits you like to remember, but there are also the lows, the times that you like to forget about. And at different stages of our lives, we face difficult pains and hurts. But as we read our Bibles, nowhere does God promise us that life will be easy. What God does promise is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, it is great to experience the highs. And that occurs when we're on top of the mountains and we can see the views and the sunrises and sunsets and experience times of blessing. And we can think to ourselves, well, why can't we stay on top of the mountain? Why must we walk through the depths of the valley? But for each of us, valleys are a part of our life. Each of us, we all have our problems, we have our trials, and we have our difficulties. And your valley will be different to someone else's valley in this room, but we all face them. That doesn't make it any easier. But another way to look at why we go through valleys is by asking ourselves, where does fruit grow? And fruit, it grows in the valleys, not on top of the mountains. And it's from our valleys, from the trials and difficult times that we face, that God, through His Spirit, He can grow us and He can deepen our faith in Him. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." If the Lord is your strength, you can see the valley of Baca become a spring. It can become a place of blessing, a place of growth. Yet for those who don't trust in God, that same place may become a place of bitterness. So when you're in the valley, when you're in the middle of a difficult time, you might not always see the opportunity for growth and blessing. But with God's help and with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we can turn these difficult times into opportunities. Opportunities for growth in our own lives as our faith increases, as we draw closer to God, and opportunities to be a witness and a testimony to others who are around us of how much God loves us, how much God cares for us, and why God sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for us. In our Bibles, in the book of Genesis, we can read about Joseph. And Joseph, he was born into a big family with lots of brothers, and he had a father who loved him lots. But do you think that Joseph could see the big picture and the opportunities that God had in store for him when he was sold into slavery by his brothers? When he was taken to a foreign land and was all by himself? When Potiphar's wife falsely accused him and had him placed in prison? And when he'd been in prison for about 2 years, was forgotten by those that he'd helped. Now God used Joseph and his experiences, and Joseph ended up being in charge of the whole land of Egypt and saving his entire family. I'm quite sure that while Joseph was going through those difficult times, that he didn't know how God was going to use him. But what I do know is that Joseph trusted in God. As most of you know, my health hasn't been the best for the past 4 years. And for those of you who don't know what happened, I'm just going to share briefly part of my journey. Just under 4 years ago, I thought I'd done something to my back, as it was really, really sore. Then after a few days, the pain, it changed, and I thought I'd a broken rib, as that's what the pain felt like. I had an x-ray, and an x-ray revealed that I possibly had pneumonia. I had night sweats, and it really, really hurt to breathe, and you kind of need to be able to breathe. After no improvements, I had a CT scan, which revealed I had nodules on my lungs. And the prognosis changed from pneumonia to possibly sarcoidosis or to lung cancer. And there are a few other options, but they're all equally scary. I had no energy, I was tired, and every time I breathed, coughed or sneezed, the pain, it was excruciating. Pretty soon, I was booked in for a lung biopsy, and those days that were leading up to it, they were pretty stressful. At the time, I wouldn't have admitted to it, but I was stressful. I was too young to be sick like this. What if the prognosis wasn't good? I had a wife, I had 3 young boys, and at that stage, our youngest Pete was only 6 months old. Praise God, the lung biopsy, it came back negative to all those nasty things that I was being tested for. And since then, I feel like I've become a pincushion with all the tests, the blood tests that I've had. I had numerous MRI scans along with quite a few other tests. And the results, they keep coming back negative to the range of things that I've been tested for. And to cut a long story short, I was finally diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which started in my lungs and has spread to other parts of my body. As a result, over the last few years, I've been continually tired, had little energy, and I've had lots of aches and pains in all my joints. This is the Valley of Baca that I've been journeying through. And many of you have seen me on my journey. I thank you for your prayers and support. And as I reported a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching, my health has been really good and it still is really good. So praise God for that. I haven't felt this great in 4 years. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm praying and I'm trusting God that I'm out of the valley. And I cling to the promise that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Along the way, there have been times when I've poured out my heart to God, when I've told Him how I've been feeling. There have been times when I've felt really low. But it's during these times that God has helped me the most. I've learned to dig deep and trust God in new ways. I've had to trust God that He'll make appointments for the right specialists and that I wouldn't have to wait too long. I've had to trust God that He'll be with me and my family as we've faced many obstacles along the way. It hasn't been easy, but God has given me and my family the strength to face each obstacle and get through those tough days. For me, to be able to come and dwell in God's presence and worship Him, it's been so encouraging. It's been during those times, during the low points, I've embraced being in God's presence. And God has filled me with His peace, which has enabled me to keep on going. God, He certainly refreshed me and inspired me to keep going. And I couldn't have done it on my own. And I still can't do it on my own. In verse 7, the author talks about going from strength to strength. While we don't like valleys, it's during these times that our faith is exercised. And our faith increases. The psalmist's desire was to be in God's presence. And that should be our greatest desire as well. And that desire should be above all of our dreams of money, our dreams of our family, our dreams for cars, our dreams of our health. Our greatest desire be, to be in God's presence. It doesn't matter what time of day, where we are, we can be in God's presence because He's always with us. And as we spend time in God's presence, the Holy Spirit will transform us to make us more like God. And we'll have a greater understanding of how wonderful God is. Our knowledge will deepen as we gain a clearer understanding of all that Jesus has done for us through His death and resurrection, and how we have been forgiven of our sins and can have a relationship with God. And we'll continue to be transformed until that day when we see Him face to face. When we dwell in God's presence and worship Him, our spirit is renewed. It's restored and refreshed so that we can meet our trials. When we dwell in God's presence, when we worship Him, we're also an encouragement to those who are around us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it's a great passage, and it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I love the image of being able to soar effortlessly like an eagle over the distractions and difficulties that I face, knowing that God is giving me strength and helping me to keep on going. Verses 10 and 11, they read, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good things does He withhold for those whose walk is blameless." Life, it's filled with choices. Some choices that we make are good, other choices are bad. And most of us, we don't need help in choosing between the good and bad choices. But sometimes we need help making choices between good and better, or good and best. And in this psalm, we read how the psalmist is saying that a day with God is better than a thousand days in the world. They're saying that they would rather spend one day in God's presence than a thousand in His absence. And to be in God's presence, it's the best place to be. And the author would even rather sit in the doorway of the church than being out in the world enjoying the luxuries and the temptations that it has to offer. So the choice, it's up to each of us. Is God, is He your dwelling place? Is being in God's presence the place where you want to be? Or is God like a weekend getaway? You go there when you have spare time and when things are going well. The psalmist concludes with, Blessed is the person who trusts in You. Those who dwell in God's presence are blessed by God, and they'll experience all the good things that God has for them. They'll continue to learn to trust Him, to praise Him, and to walk with Him no matter where the journey takes them. All of us, we're all at different stages on our pilgrimage. And at the moment, you might be in a valley, you might be on top of a mountain, or you might be somewhere in between. But are you like the author of Psalm 84? Do you desire to be in God's presence? Do you choose to step aside from the busyness of life and all of its distractions so that you can be with God? And as we dwell in God's presence, God refreshes us, He renews us, and He satisfies our soul. God is faithful, and He will lead us and provide for our every need, just like He did for the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness. So today and every day, can I encourage you to make it a priority to dwell in God's presence, to allow Him to restore you, to refresh you and renew you, and to fill you with His joy, so that through God's strength you can face any problem and any trial that comes your way. But dwelling in God's presence, I'll be honest, over the past 4 years, it hasn't been easy, especially when I've had all those questions going through my mind and when I felt really tired. But each time, when and I've taken the step and chosen to dwell in God's presence. It's amazing how God has filled me with His peace, and that has been so refreshing. God has renewed my mind. He's renewed me and given me strength to tackle the obstacles that come my way. And God has been there every step along the way as well. He's never left me nor forsaken me. And God has done that for me. And God would do the same for each of you as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you that because of Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us, that we can come before you, we can dwell in your presence. And Lord, I pray for those who are here today that are going through difficult times. Be with them. Give them strength, and I pray that they'll always know that you are with them, that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Help each of us, Lord, to dwell in your presence and to find you.